This is The Drive with Josh Graham Podcast. Tune into The Drive weekday afternoons 3 to 7 on Sports Hub Triad.
What's a more terrifying sight? Seeing the New England Patriots defense or seeing ghosts? Because Sam Darnold apparently faced both of them last night. I want to get to the ghost portion of this in a minute, but it seems that New England is in everybody's head. Remember when the greatest offensive mind in the sport seemed broken in the Super Bowl, trying to change everything he did to get to that point? Only scoring 3 points against the Patriots? Adam Gase seemed to be this great offensive mind. Then he's belittled to the point it's 33-0. The Patriots are intentionally giving 5 yards to the New York Jets, and Adam Gase doesn't know what to do, so he just declines the penalty. Nope, we're not going to allow you to go 5 yards back. The camera pans to Bill Belichick, and the guy is a robot. He doesn't smile. But in this instance, when Gase is not allowing him to give free yardage up, he couldn't help but smirk. He had that smirk, and I put this up on Twitter, that mirrors the smirk Southerners have when they're at cookout and they hear Northerners looking at the cookout menu for the first time. Wait, what's a hush puppy? Are you telling me I can have a corn dog as a side? It's crazy, man. Des, what is your go-to cookout order, by the way? If you're ordering cookout, what are you getting?
The double cookout tray with fries.
Big double and, burger.
Yeah.
That's what I always get, too.
Add cheese and A1 sauce. And
A1 sauce?
Yeah, man. You got the
You can A1 do that?
Yeah, man. you throw that on there with hush puppies and fries or nuggets and fries for my side. And in a former life, a huge sweet tea, but I'm not allowed to do that anymore.
Do you know what we should do in the South on this show? The same way Dan Patrick takes phone calls and they give their height and weight what they can bench. We should take phone calls, and you have to give us your cookout order at the start of it.
Oh, I love it.
Like your go-to cookout order, 336-777-1600. In fact, I'm down taking those calls right now, 777-1600, on Twitter, at Sports Hub Triad. That's the face Belichick gave. You're in line. Guy's asking what hush puppies are. Doesn't understand the cookout menu. Wait, what's Cheerwine all about? The Patriots, they're in everybody's head. And the crazy thing is, they're unbeaten, and they're getting better. So, they trade for Mohamed Sanu today in exchange for a second-round draft pick. The Pats, they've loved Sanu for a while. They've been badgering whoever's had him to get Sanu, and it seemed like they liked him in exchange for a first-round draft pick. But now, the Falcons, they're mailing it in, and you get a second rounder. The Patriots, they finally solved the wide receiver problems. Pat Mahomes, he's going to be out for the next few weeks. The Patriots are already in an awful division. So you got to be thinking, in addition to seeing Gase turn down free yardage, that Belichick's just looking at the league and laughing. He's a step ahead, and things are just lying out so easy for him right now. All right, now let's get to the ghost part. If you missed the mic'd up segment that they did last night on ESPN, Sam Darnold gave us this gem. The mic'd up stuff is generally useless. It is television networks boasting, sticking their chest out, saying, look at this access that we have. And in return, what we get as content is usually awful stuff. It's usually, hey! Let's play defense. Yo, pound it in the paint. Play hard. You've heard these before. What do they generally sound like, Des? When you think mic'd up, what's usually being said by a coach in the huddle?
My first thought was,
give me your impression.
If it's like a quarterback or someone, if they get hit, they're like, oh, nice hit, man. What are you doing? Like,
nice hit.
Oh, dude, you really hit me there.
Play hard. And awesome. The good stuff, it comes out in the middle of the week. Inside the NFL gives us Cam Newton talking to Clay Matthews. Matthews thinks it's going to be a screenplay. Oh, you did your prep, didn't you?
The wheel route. Check this out.
Oh, the wheel route. That's what it was. The wheel route. And Christian McCaffrey had something for you. Completion right across the middle for a touchdown. These are usually useless. But then Darnold gave us a huge gift last night.
Seeing ghosts.
Seeing ghosts. It's like an X-Files episode. Darnold, he's starring in it, and he looks into the camera deadpan and says,
seeing ghosts.
Is this a side effect? This might be part of the X-Files. Side effect for mono, seeing ghost. Usually it's the Deflategate stuff that leads to X-Files-like investigations. Did Tom Brady know that the footballs were deflated?
Seeing ghosts.
The sad thing is, watching the replays of some of the stuff from last night, Patriots are just sending one extra dude. That's pretty much it the whole night. Just one extra guy.
I have the hot take today that I don't think anybody else is going to have across the sports media platform. Usually we're late to things because we're on in the afternoon. Everybody gets a crack at it in the morning, and DG comes on right before us. I think I have something that hasn't been said yet. I think it's a plus that he could see ghost. It's a good sign. You want your quarterback to be able to see everything on the field.
Seeing ghosts.
So the Carolina Panthers are getting set for the San Francisco 49ers on Sunday. The Niners are the only unbeaten team in the NFC. In 25 minutes, we will be joined by the voice of the Carolina Panthers, Mick Bixon. I hate this matchup for Carolina. I think this game is going to come down to who runs the ball better. And I have more faith that the 49ers will, because as good as Luke Kuechly is and as good as this pass rush has been, Thieves Avenue, the way they've turned over the football, the rush defense has not been exceptional. Carolina is 23rd in the league in rush defense. The 49ers, conversely, are second in the NFL running the ball. They pound it. If you haven't watched the 49ers yet, they're a team that doesn't mind giving it the Breida four or five times in a row and then just working play action the rest of the game. It's not like an option-based offense in college, but the ratio of run to pass does remind you of these run-based college offenses you'll see. And that surprises me a bit, because that's not what Kyle Shanahan was doing in Atlanta, but it's the sign of a great coach, whether you're talking about in college basketball, Roy Williams and Coach K being able to change things year in and year out based on the personnel that they have rather than tailoring the personnel to a style. Kyle Shanahan's the kind of coach that looks at his personnel and then tailors the offense to that versus the other way around. Plus, the 49ers, they have the number one total defense in the league. They're eighth against the run. McCaffrey, he's gone off pretty much against anybody except for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Houston Texans. Those are the two teams that have held them under 100 yards. Do you know what those two teams have in common? They're both top 10 rush defenses. In the most recent game, Todd Bowles once again held Christian McCaffrey to under 60 yards total, complete. I think everybody's going to be studying that film from the two games against Tampa Bay. And if anybody has the personnel to shut down McCaffrey, it's this San Francisco team. This defense is legitimate. And I think it's going to be a problem for Carolina. You might think, though, Josh, Carolina's had extra time to prepare, though. They're coming off the bye week. That's an advantage for Carolina. Maybe not. Ron Rivera is 4-4 after the bye week in his career with the Panthers. This is a road game against the best opponent Carolina's had this year. So you can give me all the Kyle Allen's red hot stuff. Rivera, oh, it's after a bye week. But the numbers really muddy that. As good as Houston is, they ain't got beat by the Houston Texans, or excuse me, by the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday. And the LA Rams have sputtered in points. They won in Atlanta, but they're 4-3 in the season. This seems to be the hottest team in the NFL and the best team that the Carolina Panthers have played to this point. So I'm not going as far to say right now that the Panthers are going to lose to the 49ers on Sunday. What I am saying, though, analytically, where the game's being played, the opponent that you're going up against, just sheer on paper matchups, I don't like it. It stinks for the Carolina Panthers. The Drive is broadcast live in the law offices of Timothy D. Wellborn Studios. Learn about the ways Tim Wellborn can help you online at timwellborn.com. It's the start of the NBA season tonight. It's the start of the World Series tonight. Before we move off to that, though, tough news for Wake Forest football today. The heart of the defense, Justin Sternad, out for the remainder of the season. It is a tough way for Sternad's collegiate career to end, because my understanding of the medical redshirt rule is you have to play in less than half the games in a year in order to file for it. And Wake Forest has already played 7 games this season. So I don't think it could happen. He's a redshirt senior. He's an excellent kid. Somebody I understand is a fan of the show as well. He even tweeted as much when we put out the news on our social media today. So really wishing the best for Justin Sternad and for Wake Forest, quite frankly, because he really is the best player on that defense. He is a captain. He played in 46 games in his career, starting the last 20 games for the Deacs. And right now, his 69 tackles, a nice total, leads Wake Forest, and it's 7th in the ACC. So hoping the best for Justin Sternad, and I hope somebody in the NFL is smart enough to pick him next year. Coming up, why I want it, much like bet against Justin Sternad, why I want it bet against Zion Williamson after this latest injury setback. This is The Drive.
Seen ghosts.
Providing you with the latest sports news, commentary, and analysis. Plus, tips on how to cheat at bingo.
Oh, 69.
Bingo! You're on The Drive with Josh Graham on Sports Hub Triad.
Fresh off the bye week, we are now chatting with the voice of the Carolina Panthers, Mick Mixon, as Carolina gets set to face the only unbeaten team in the NFC in Santa Clara Sunday, that being Kyle Shanahan's San Francisco 49ers. Mick, do anything exciting over the open day?
Oh, gosh, yeah, it was wide open. I mean, I just let my hair down and saw my grandson play a soccer game. He's 12 and just kind of getting into being aggressive and kicking the ball, and that was a blast. And let's see, I had spent some time with my wife's family up there in Burlington, Alamance County.
Oh yeah.
So it was great, and I enjoyed watching some ball and listening to some ball. Still can't believe that Tar Heel Virginia Tech game. That was crazy. So and then the NFL. My gosh, what theater! Over the weekend, it was just kind of fun to sit back and look at some of it.
Shout out to the folks listening on 104.5 at 9:20 a.m. in Burlington. Mick Mixon broadcasting the Panthers for a good bit of time now. I'm not sure if you've seen the breaking news in the last 20 minutes that the 49ers have acquired Denver wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders in exchange for 3rd and 4th round draft picks next year. But it already looked like a pretty tough matchup Sunday. How do you see this matchup? Is it the Panthers' biggest test to this point?
Oh, without a doubt, yeah. I've enjoyed looking at San Fran a little bit. Their defense is very, very stout. Their safeties will come up and thump you. They get pass rush in a variety of ways. Good tacklers. Not a lot of yards after they show up in the vicinity. They kind of get there in a bad frame of mind. Good tackling technique. Kyle Shanahan's, you know, he's always had the play action game when they run the ball with a determination that gets you wadded up to stop the run. And then, you know, how many times when Shanahan was with Atlanta did we see Matt Ryan ride the ball into Coleman or Freeman, and then you think that you know where the ball is, and then you don't, and there's a long downfield pass. So it's going to be a tough challenge, but I think the Panthers have an exceptional defense. I think that the team has rallied around Kyle Allen, and I don't know. It sure didn't seem like it at 0-2, but it now seems like there is something special about this Panther team.
It was great to see earlier today some of the pictures and videos of Cam Newton outside of the practice bubble stretching, working out, participating with trainers on the side, not actually participating in practice to this point. So Allen is going to start on Sunday. But it's crazy that this is somehow a divisive topic, and it's only taken like a month for us to get to this point, Mick, with the quarterbacks. What do you make of how strongly a non-small contingent of the Panthers fan base feels that Kyle Allen should remain the starting quarterback once Cam's foot heals?
Well, I don't see what all the fuss is about. Kyle Allen is the starting quarterback for this week and possibly beyond. I think unless you're looking at Breeze or Brady, you probably don't change away from a hot hand at quarterback. Brady, you could argue, and it's not black letter law, but you could argue body of work, just bring him back in. I think Teddy Bridgewater probably knows he's a bookmark, and he's been fantastic. But with our guy, it's a little different. I think the foot injury questions about can he plant, can he run, can he jump, can he leap over tall buildings in a single bound, can he be that dual threat quarterback that we've come to know and admire and love? You know, if so, then why not look at it in the way that's most favorable to us? Why not look at it as the Panthers have depth at quarterback and we have two guys that could win a game?
We all agree that this is probably a great problem to have if you're Carolina, knowing you have Kyle Allen while Cam is down. And Ron Rivera deserves a lot of credit when people were doubting, say, where Carolina was at with their quarterbacks when Cam went down, heck, even during the preseason. Ron, he stuck with Allen, and it's been rewarded, what he saw in his talent evaluation. But be it with Breeze or somewhere else, it's usually the fan base that backs the superstar, unless they express they prefer to play somewhere else, which has not happened at all with Cam Newton. He loves Charlotte. He wants to win a Super Bowl in Charlotte. But the fact that there are fans, I don't know if it's being spoiled or something else, for them to say, hey, this guy who's won an MVP here, probably the most talented single player this franchise has ever had, we prefer to have someone else playing under center. Is it at least interesting to you that this is kind of a talking point, not just between us, but around the state of North Carolina?
I guess. I mean, I'm not on social media, so I don't see the wisdom in slugging it out with people I don't know and people who don't really know me. I think that with Cam Newton, with Kyle Allen, the psychology of all this is very fascinating, is very intriguing. But it makes me as mad as can be, this idea that there's a group of Panther fans that don't want Cam anymore. I guarantee you that if Cam Newton walked into their place of work, or if they saw Cam Newton, if they rolled up on him at a car wash, a mall, a restaurant, how do you think they would behave?
Hey, can I have a selfie?
Of course. Cam. And players know that. I mean, they know that the same people who are criticizing the way he dresses, probably there's pictures in their closet somewhere of them in the disco era where they probably weren't exactly looking like Yves Saint Laurent. So I just try to focus on the football. I think it's fantastic that Cam is a competitive, combative warrior king. He wants to get back. Josh, here's how I could see this playing out.
Yeah.
That helps the Carolina Panthers. Cam Newton internalizes all this, and he comes back mad at it and determined, even more determined than ever. He's already determined. But he comes back even more purposeful, even more determined to, when he gets his chance, show everybody, all the tweeters, the chatters, the bloggers, the talkers, the Instagrammers, the FaceTimers, the Facebookers, that they did not realize what they were working with.
That's about as well as you can put it, and I agree with pretty much all of that. Vic Mixon, the voice of the Carolina Panthers, with us on Sports Hub Triad. Were there any old photos of Mick once upon a time in the disco era? I've got to ask.
If taking pictures was as easy then as it is now, I would have to move out of state, possibly out of the country.
David Cutcliffe once upon a time was here telling us about how he was big on discos, and still after every win at Duke, he's dancing with people all over the place. He loves to dance at Duke. This is a question I never thought I'd be asking in an NFL context, but after last night's Jets-Patriots game, it's one that I have to ask. The mic'd up microphones for ESPN caught Sam Darnold on the sideline saying this.
Seeing ghosts.
He was seeing ghosts, he said. McMixon, do you believe in ghosts?
So I watched a little bit of that game, but I did not see that. Was he concussed? Did he was he suffering from head trauma? What was the context?
Not a side effect of mononucleosis, which forced him out for about a month. No, he was looking at one of those tablets they have on the sideline, and he was talking to a coach, and he said that he was seeing ghosts.
Wow. I don't really know. I mean, it's not something that I believe in. If my wife and I were going to buy a house and then we learned that it was haunted, this would affect my bride way differently than it would affect me. If she were in charge, which she is, we'd have to have some sort of exorcism, some sort of ridding of some kind of ceremony, candle, something or other, bring somebody in to get the evil spirits away.
Our producer, by the way, Desmond claims that his house is haunted. Is this true, Des, that your house is haunted?
Well, my kids and my niece all proclaim that it's haunted. I don't believe in ghosts, so I can't subscribe to it, but everyone else around me claims that my house is haunted.
Okay, what reasoning?
Weird sounds, hearing things walking up above us. Yeah. Things moving, lights, stuff like that.
Your house doesn't have those side effects, Mick, does it?
Well, we're in an apartment now. We sold our house and sort of in a little bit. Donnie and I are in a little bit of a housing transition now. We got some apartment sounds that we've heard that I would rather not be hearing. But that's a topic possibly for another type of show.
Yeah, perhaps, Mick. It's always good to talk to you about football, ghosts, and whatever else. Thank you so much for doing this.
Oh, you're the best, Josh. Thanks for having me on, brother.
Got it. That's Mick Mixon, the voice of the Carolina Panthers. Kind enough to spend some time with us. As he mentioned, not on the Twitter. So there's no place you can follow Mick. What other details can you tell me about your haunted house?
I mean, I've spent like a month in there by myself, you know, when my kids and my wife took off for Ohio during the summer. So I was there alone for a month and didn't see anything, hear anything funny, but They say there's some sort of, I guess, spooky vibe to the house, which I will attest to. There is something kind of, you can kind of feel a weird vibe to the house when you're in there. But haunted or ghosts, I'm not really the ghost type, I guess. But they subscribe to it totally.
This next segment's going to be tough. There are three confessions I have to make on air. That's next on The Drive.
Now, I want you to be calm. Don't get too excited, but...
This is The Drive.
He likes to kiss and cuddle.
Be warned, this is extremely graphic. So if you have small children in the room, don't let them disturb you.
Back to The Drive with Josh Graham.
I have three confessions that I need to make here. And I guess since the NBA is opening up tonight, we might as well start with the Lakers and Clippers. 10:30 tip-off time. I'm not staying up for this game. I bet 95, that's an accurate number, 95% of the people listening in this audience right now, whoever is hearing my voice here, 95% of you will not be staying up for this basketball game. 10:30 tip-off time, and I guess it's one of those things where I got to be in Raleigh at 9 o'clock in the morning tomorrow, so that might factor into it, but even if it wasn't, I'd probably just stay up for Game 1 of the World Series tonight, then I'm calling it quits. There are a few things less meaningful than a single NBA regular season basketball game. Like, obviously, a Major League Baseball regular season game, when you got 162 of them, it's something that's very insignificant. But despite that, there are going to be so many conclusions drawn tomorrow, and I'm not looking forward to it. NBA Twitter
just being Twitter, is very overreactionary. So you have people losing their mind on Michael Jordan right now, who said jokingly in a very MJ-esque way that Steph Curry isn't a Hall of Famer yet. They lose their mind. And whatever happens tonight, whoever wins between the Lakers and Clippers, people are going to lose it. When every year in these opening week, this opening week or so, results happen that turn out not to mean much of anything. So I'm not staying up for things that don't mean much of anything. I'm fine watching the highlight tomorrow. Kevin Harlan will be on the call to game for the game tonight on TNT, and he will be our guest at about this time tomorrow to talk about it. So that's my first confession. I'm not staying up for this. Number two, the NBA on NBC theme that everybody loves, the old one, you know, this theme right here. Oh, it's so great. It gets you excited for basketball tonight, even though it's been out of rotation for how long? 15, 20 years?
At least.
Yeah, it's been forever since it's been in rotation, but we're all excited, very excited because of this theme. It's not one of the three best sports themes of all time. Not one of the three best. People proclaim it the best there is. I will show you right now what the best sports theme is. Something when you hear it, you know exactly what we're talking about, and there is nothing in sports better. Hello, friends. Ah, yes, it's that time of year. It's early April, and Augusta National is ripe to crown a champion. A tradition unlike any other, the Masters. Best sports theme, that's number one for me. Number two is probably March Madness, college basketball, and then just Monday Night Football. That checks out too, among the best sports themes. Those are the top three. And today's sports talk radio, where everybody's yelling at each other and just spewing hot takes, it just feels good to have that theme, even though there are general managers and people who study analytics who say, don't play soft music such as this because it's not good for radio and ratings. I disagree with that. Josh disagreeing with everybody who tells him things. A tradition unlike any other. Yes, Des.
This is the best theme song?
Best sports theme ever. This right here.
Over this?
Yeah, weren't you listening?
I want to go dunk on you right now.
Not top three. I mean, the college basketball March Madness theme. Objectively better. And still in rotation. I mean, the March Madness theme gets you pretty jacked. So, it's a confession that I needed to make. I needed to get this off of my chest. That I'm not staying up for Lakers Clippers tonight. I'm just not. And the Masters theme is my favorite sports theme of all time, followed by the March Madness college basketball theme, Monday Night Football, da-da-da-da! Not the most accurate portrayal. But then you have the NBA stuff, maybe, after that. So 336-777-1600 on Twitter at Sports Hub Triad if you have thoughts on that.
I can get with you on the NCAA the March Madness theme. It just puts you there.
You do remember my hot take about one shiny moment, though.
Oh, I remember. I think the whole tribe remembers.
Not a fan. I don't think it's a good song. I think you can put anything with those highlights at the end of March Madness, and it's going to be just fine.
Do you not see the kids' faces? Whoever the national champion team is?
I know.
They wait for that
song
to come on.
I'm telling you that you can put any song there, and those kids are going to be just as happy
because
they just won a national championship. You can put Beethoven on with that music playing, and they're still going to be happy they just won the national title.
They tried that, though, remember?
They did not try that.
The whole Luther Vandross got replaced by Jennifer Hudson thing.
I know, because they were singing the same bad song.
Oh.
It's not a good song.
Oh, Josh.
Last confession here. If there's a pre-1970s classic in movies, I haven't seen it. I've claimed on this show to be a movie savant. I love movies. I'm an enthusiast. I don't really like action movies much. I like rom-coms. I'm not afraid to cop to it. I love movies that are kind of a bummer. Have no problem watching those. If it's depressing, I'm in on that too. But pre-1970s movies, the classics, I haven't seen it. Let me clarify something, though. Wizard of Oz, Snow White, I saw those movies growing up. I haven't seen them since I've been an adult. I tried to watch Citizen Kane one time because the real film snobs said, hey, this movie is unbelievable, man. It's one of the most influential movies ever. You're going to love Citizen Kane. Fell asleep halfway through. So Gone with the Wind, haven't seen it. Casablanca, haven't seen it. Sound of Music, not as an adult. Lawrence of Arabia, nope. West Side Story, not saying these movies are bad. That's not what I'm saying. I am saying that if it's made before 1970, there's probably about 100% chance I haven't seen it, and I'm probably never going to see it. That's just where I'm at on it. Let's go to Jay in Jamestown, who wants in on the sports theme music subject. Jay, where are you falling in terms of picking a theme song you like?
Yes, sir. Jay from Jamestown. Junior Trey, double corn dog, double fries.
Thank you so much.
Are you there?
I am here. That's a very good order.
Okay, sorry about that. All right, very good. I can hear the timpanis right now, and I cannot believe that you've left the Olympic theme song off your list.
That's an excellent
boom,
one. But we only...
Boom.
We only... You can continue. We only get every 4 years, though, Jay. So
I knew you were going to give me an asterisk on that, but I just had to call in
right,
anyway.
Thank you, Jay. All right. And I like this new rule that we set.
Yeah.
Every caller that we get, like when we do a giveaway, like today's show, it's Wake Forest NC State football tickets. It is, we're giving away a $50 Kickback Jacks gift card. We're doing that today. Before every single one of those calls, I want to know what your go-to cookout order is. That's the new policy on our show.
I like it. We can do that here.
We definitely can. I didn't even tell you what my go-to cookout order was.
You didn't. What is yours?
Big double burger with lettuce, mustard, ketchup, and bacon on the burger. No cheese.
Ooh.
Sides, I'm going chicken quesadilla and fries. And I used to go Dr. Pepper to drink. In fact, I haven't been back since I've been off soda. And I haven't. Last night was the first night I ate a burger in like 2 months.
It's great.
Yeah.
Welcome to the club, man.
Oh,
I'm kind of there.
What club? The anti-soda club?
Well, that too. And the stay away from red meat as much as possible club, I guess.
I'm at the point where I reward myself once a week.
Yeah.
I asked the question on the internet, because that's the best place to go. How do you eat healthy during football season? Because I'm at a place where I go to 2, maybe 3 games a week, and it's going to get even crazier in the month of November. It's not generally the most healthy food that they have at these places. Like, for instance, if I go to a Wake basketball game, they'll give you a voucher, and it's great that they provide food for us. We appreciate that. But you go to the concourse, and your options are tenders, burger, or... I mean, that's pretty much it, the burger or the tenders. And, okay, you got soda there. Hard to really resist that. If you go to NC State, North Carolina, whoever else it might be, it's usually burgers and dogs. The Panthers, they have that. And then at halftime, they have hot dogs again. And after the game, there's pizza and there's a damn ice cream self-serving machine. Like, you got to be careful.
How do these ice cream machines keep following you around?
I know. They're everywhere.
All around the triad.
Like, how am I supposed to resist it? When they just keep following me around like ghosts.
It's like random spots. They just pop up on you.
They just
you.
Keep following me around like they're ghost on the field that Sam Darnold's staring at. Yes.
Seeing ghosts.
Yes, he was. Speaking of that, I'm trying to think of other instances in sports where athletes claim to have seen ghosts. And the only one I could find, this audio coming courtesy of ESPN Radio, Derrick Rose, in his second year in the league, got so scared at this Oklahoma City hotel, thinking that it was haunted, that he went into James Johnson's room, who was on the team at the time, and forced him onto the floor and took his bed because he believed his room was haunted. This is some of that from James Johnson. This is probably 5 or 6 years ago.
We were just coming back from dinner, and we was walking to his. I was walking with him to his room to grab something out of his room. And when we got there, all his stuff was flipped upside down, the bed, the couches, the chair in there. And he immediately turned white and took off running.
Scary. It's clearly his teammates who did that.
I was like, my first thought was Joakim Noah was on that team, wasn't he?
Yeah.
That sounds like something Joakim Noah would have done.
And the only reason you might think it isn't is because Derrick Rose wasn't a rookie anymore. So you immediately default, I'm not a rookie anymore. It must be Ghost. But I'm not going to hate on Derrick Rose. I'm the same person last week who woke up in the middle of the night, had like a nightmare, and then felt something like under the covers. So I got out of bed rather than just like ignoring it and going back to sleep and just slept on the couch.
What? Wait.
While Winnie was sleeping on my head, my cat, just slept on the couch. I got out of my bed.
Did it cross your mind that maybe it was Winnie that did that?
Oh, no, it wasn't Winnie. I would know if it was Winnie. She wasn't in the room.
So are you firmly in the supernatural ghost camp?
I believe in ghosts. Sure. I believe in ghosts. The Drive brought to you in part by our friends at Pie Guys Pizza and More. Find them in Clemens off of Louisville Clemens Road. A great sponsor of the program. Try the Graham Slam Pizza. Moravian Sugar Cane Pie. And also visit them because they might have ghosts. Kidding. I'm kidding. There are no ghosts. There are no ghosts at Pie Guys. I'm kidding. Just kidding. PieGuys.com. I'm sure they're going to love that read. You are listening to WSJS Winston-Salem, WCOG Greensboro, WPCM Burlington, WMFR High Point. Those signals making up. Sports Up. Try it.
The Drive with Josh Graham.
He's confident, smart, witty, vicious, brutal, vindictive, a monster.
This is an evil man.
Maybe, but he knows his sports. Back to The Drive with Josh Graham on Sports Hub Triad.
Find the ACC rankings from the hosts of our local 7-hour block in the afternoon at accsports.com. Our weekly ACC rankings are there. David Glenn now with us as he is each and every week at this time. You can find his rankings and my rankings again at accsports.com. Not a shocker that Clemson's at the very top, and we'll get to the ACC football topics in a bit, but we need to get to the most important stuff. Sam Darnold last night said he was seeing ghosts when he was mic'd up on ESPN's Monday Night Football. It was probably the best use of the mic'd up segment we've ever seen. DG, do you believe in ghosts?
Well, let me just say, Josh, that I'd like a cheeseburger all the way with slaw and onion rings and a huge tea, please.
Excellent work there, Dunn. Great job. That's the requirement to get into today's show now. On the ghost front.
My children taught me the right way to order trays. I had to learn it from my own kids.
It's funny because Bill Belichick's look last night is Adam Gase is denying 5 free yards. They look to Belichick. He's smirking. He's a robot who never smiles. It's the same look Southerners have when they hear Northerners order at cookout for the first time. Well, what's the hush puppy? Yeah, what's cheerwine all about? So I'm impressed, DJ. You figured it out.
Hey, hey, buddy, order already. We're dying back here. Hey, I'll tell you, you raise an interesting question with the mic'd up session because you know me well enough to know that I love being an independent journalist. In fact, when some people hear that I created the ACC Sports Journal and accsports.com, they assume that we're officially affiliated with the league, which we're not. as a young person, I did videos and books and other things that had to be approved by the ACC or had to be approved by Duke or Carolina, or I did some work for Raycom, the big TV partner of the league for a while. And one of the reasons as a very young man that I tended toward the independent side of things and did not really like sort of the official side of things is I didn't like people having to approve my work, right? If it's historical, if it's interesting, if it's relevant, I wanted to include it. But if Duke hires you to write the history of Duke basketball or Raycom hires you to write the history of the ACC tournament, well, of course, the league or the school want approval. And when I see these mic'd up situations, whether it's TV partners, you know, the traditional broadcasters, or in this case, NFL films, I'm reminded of the trade-off, right? Like the NFL and these leagues want to cooperate with people who are giving them billions of dollars in money to televise their product, but they want to draw lines as well. And as soon as Sam Darnold was painted in a negative light by seeing ghosts, and it looked like Bill Belichick was in a young quarterback's head, I knew Adam Gase wasn't going to like that. I knew he was going to say, we need to find out what we're obligated to do and what we're not obligated to do. And it's just a fascinating gray area to me when you move from truly independent journalism to something where you're half in bed with the school or the league that you're covering, because it gets really complicated once you get into those weeds sometimes.
And that's why we're talking about it today, because we've grown accustomed to play hard defense. Hey, get the ball in there. And it's just leagues, or excuse me, TV networks boasting the access they get because of these massive contracts that they sign with leagues. And as you mentioned, they're in bed with them. But DG, I feel like you're sidestepping the issue. Do you believe in ghosts?
Do I believe in ghosts? I do not. Although I loved Casper the Friendly Ghost as a kid, and when Demi Moore thought she saw ghosts, I liked Demi Moore so much that that's as close as I've ever come to somebody convincing me to believe in ghosts.
Excellent work there. The NBA season tips off tonight, so I assume we'll have like the plugged in or mic'd up segment, and you'll see exactly what we're talking about. It's probably going to be useless sound, but Desmond is convinced this is the best sports theme of all time. This right here, it's so great, it hasn't been on television in an official sense in 20 years. Like, it's great. It's the NBA on NBC.
It is good.
Right. I don't know the last time that NBC carried basketball, the NBA specifically, but it's been a while. For me, This was seen as a hot take. I don't really view that as one of the top three. When I'm trying to figure out what the best one is, I start with something that we have in the month of April, something that is a little calmer than what you just heard there. It's specifically the Masters. When you go to it, the Masters is what I look at. Where do you start?
Well, I don't know how to exactly say this because I don't have a button to push to cue up the audio, but I believe it's an old Monday Night Football theme.
Yes.
Way back. Dun 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 dun. And I mean, that just got way before, I think that was, you know, before Hank Williams Jr. was singing the Monday Night Football theme and all that stuff. I love that pure sound. I'm not anti-lyrics, but I loved when that got you charged up for the game of the week. And in terms of pure instrumentals, that's probably the one that jumps out in my head the most.
This is here for me, DG. It's the Masters. A tradition. Unlike
that's a good
any
Dan
other.
Voice right there.
Yes. Yes, friends. Hello, friends. Welcome to Augusta National. That's probably where I begin. I will keep this music going. I'll ask this next question in Nance's calm Masters voice. We're being joined by David Glenn, the host of The David Glenn Show, on Twitter, at David Glenn Show. I'm looking at the ACC poll. It is really hard to whisper in this voice, I've figured out. At this point, DG, would you be surprised, considering what we've seen in the Coastal, if it wasn't Pittsburgh or Virginia playing in the ACC title game?
I would be surprised. I think Virginia is the best team. They were my preseason pick. I'm sticking with them, although they have some injury issues, as do others. You know, they, of course, each have only one loss. The Hokies, the Devils, the Heels all have two. I do think Carolina is talented enough to make a run. But, you know, they had a chance to beat App and it got away, a chance to beat Wake and it got away, a chance to beat Virginia Tech and it got away. So I don't know how much confidence I can have that Mack Brown and the Tar Heels will start winning more of those close games. They're 2-3, or what is it? Yeah, 2-3 in the closest games, I guess. All but one has been close. So, I think Virginia's the team to beat. Remember, they already have the head-to-head win over Pitt if they need that as a tiebreaker later. And it wouldn't surprise me if it came down to that Virginia-Virginia Tech game at the end of the regular season, where, remember, the Hokies have been on the right end of that for over a decade. So wouldn't it be interesting if the Cavaliers' chance to actually make a trip to the ACC title game for the first time comes in the context of having to try to beat the Hokies head-to-head for the first time in forever? That scenario wouldn't surprise me at all.
My theory on the Zion Williamson front, who's not going to play tonight as the Raptors unveil a banner against the Zion-less New Orleans Pelicans. He's out for the next 6 to 8 weeks with a torn meniscus in his knee. He's a physical enigma, and I'm not betting against him because last year a lot of people said that he needed to cut weight in order to be competitive in the ACC, and he dominated all throughout last year. He almost broke college basketball, essentially, with how good he was. And I get the injury that he had for a couple of weeks, but I thought that was more a freak accident than anything that indicated he needed to drop weight. He didn't wear a boot afterwards, and people even close to the program have told me that if it was March, Zion Williamson probably plays through pain. And we learned that he had a high pain threshold because, according to the reporting by The Athletic, they didn't even know he had a torn meniscus, and they don't even know specifically when he sustained the injury because he had 29-10 in the preseason game against the Spurs that he allegedly had the injury. The guy's a freak. I'm not betting against freak athleticism that we've only seen a couple times in our lifetimes. What's your level of concern for Zion Williamson?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not betting against him. You know, the human body is designed to only take so much, and we have a rare physical specimen who sometimes carries 280 or so on a 6'7 frame. And I'm no doctor, but, you know, we see in certainly a lot of sports where there's repetitive motion, eventually, even if you have a great golf swing, a shoulder, a neck, a back, a knee, a hip, or some combination of the above starts to go. I mean, I'm a guy who pitched for 20 years, and I have a partially torn left rotator cuff to show for it. I mean, there's certain motions that just can't be duplicated. That doesn't happen as often in basketball, but, you know, the bigger guys who carry more weight are putting more pressure on their hips and their knees, and now, you know, Zion has had more than one issue with his lower body. So I'm with you. If I only get to pick Zion's going to be great or Zion's going to fall flat, I'm picking Zion's going to be great, and I even think his preseason performance underlined that he can do it his way, even against the best basketball players in the world, even against, you know, better shot blockers in the paint where he likes to live, etc. So I hope injuries don't make this a moot question. I'm still betting on Zion Williamson, and I have a feeling he'll be one of the best rookies in the NBA once he is healthy 6 or so weeks from now.
Going into today, I already didn't feel good about the Panthers matchup against San Francisco, considering how well they run the ball versus the Panthers. Even though they've been a great turnover defense, they've been susceptible to great rushing teams, giving up a lot of rushing yards, and also how well they stop the run, being the number one total defense, Kyle Shanahan's 49ers. But then we get the news as we're going on the air today, DG, that they just acquired Emmanuel Sanders in exchange for a third and fourth round draft pick of next year. So now it's a rushing team that has more passing ability, more options for Jimmy Garoppolo to distribute the ball between. I don't think it's a good matchup for Carolina. What about you?
I think they have a good chance. I mean, you know, San Francisco is a great team, but I don't think they belong in the same conversation as the New England Patriots, the only other undefeated team. I'm not even sure they belong in the conversation with the Vikings and the Packers and the Saints and the other best records in the NFC. We'll see. Maybe they'll prove me wrong against the Panthers. Maybe we'll prove me wrong in the longer sense. But what I like is the Panthers have gone from one of the worst pass rushes in the NFL to some of the best sack numbers in the NFL. And the 49ers have won mainly because of dominated defense. Richard Sherman in the defensive backfield, but even more so the front seven led by Nick Bosa. I don't think the Panthers are going to score a ton on the 49ers, but the Niners are not great offensively. And if Luke Kuechly, and now, for a change, a really good pass rush, can get to Jimmy Garoppolo, can stuff the run, can create some turnovers, that's your recipe for a road victory. So I agree with you about the addition of Sanders. That doesn't make it easier. But I think the Panthers need to lean on their defense and ask them to bring home a win the way that defense, you know, stuffs the Tampa Bay Buccaneers until the game was out of reach and has stuffed a couple of others in this 4-2 start.
We had so much fun this past weekend with the big tailgate tour being in Winston-Salem. It was you, myself, Darren Vaught and company at the Last Resort Bar right off of Deacon Boulevard. Thanks to those tailgate tour. And then we went on the tailgate lots, had some fun as well to be at Duke, North Carolina, as we will be as well on Saturday, right?
Yes, that is our final Chapel Hill stop. So we'll be set up on Franklin Street at our usual place. And it's been fun. I mean, after catching a great game with FSU visiting Wake, glad we picked that one in retrospect, we get, you know, one of our rivalry games. You know, we get State Carolina later this season. We get Duke Carolina on Saturday afternoon. And as Mack Brown's been saying all along, this is a different Chapel Hill environment for college football. You know, that's a full Keenan Stadium. And even though the Heels have come back to earth a little bit, I have a feeling it's going to be jacked up for homecoming and jacked up for a chance to get some revenge on the Blue Devils, who have had the better of this rivalry league.
And it's a good spot that you have next to the Methodist Church, spitting distance from top of the hill right there on Franklin Street. And we look forward to seeing you out there on Saturday. Thanks for the visit as always, DG.
Always fun, my man. Great food at the drive-through window. I appreciate that.
Yes. Got it. That's David Glenn.